begin today comes from the Gospel of Matthew. Jesus has spoken with the disciples about who is truly great and who is not. He has talked with the disciples about the temptation to sin and how to avoid that. He has talked to them about how one who is lost is very important. All of these things have to do with the community of faith and how we respond to the outside world. And sometimes how we respond within the church. Remember, at this time, the word church didn't exist. Christ used body to symbolize the church. The word church didn't come until Paul's time, Christians and church and all of that. Jesus didn't talk about it that way. So as you listen to Jesus speak to us, all of us, because this is one of those messages that is timeless. If another member of the body sins against you, go and point out their fault when the two of you are alone. If the member listens to you, you have regained that one. But if you are not listened to, take one or two others along with you so that every word may be confirmed by the witnesses and their evidence. If the member refuses to listen to them, tell it to the body of Christ. And if the offender refuses to listen even to the body of Christ, let such a one be to you as a tax collector or a Gentile. Truly, Jesus says, I tell you, whatever you bind on earth will be bound in heaven. Whatever you loose on earth will be loosed in heaven. Again, truly, I tell you, if two of you agree on earth about anything you ask me, it will be done for you by my Father in heaven. For where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am also. May God bless the reading and the hearing of this word, but particularly may God bless us to understand how to use it. I want to take just a minute to talk about those last couple of sentences, because those sentences are abused in our society and other societies around the world and have been for eons, decades, centuries, whatever you want to say. It does not say in Scripture that when two of you agree that God will do what you want God to do. It says that God will act according to God's will. It does not say if two or three are gathered together, they can just do whatever they want. It says, when two or three are gathered in my name, Jesus' name, Jesus will be with them and will guide them and will direct them in their steps. I have seen this passage used so many times when people will come up, and this is not a reflection on this congregation, this is past lifetime, but I have seen so many times when people will come up and say, you have to do this the way we say, because there's three of us, and Jesus said so. When did Jesus tell you that I have to do things your way? Well, no, it says that if we're together, that means you have to do things our way. No. It means that Jesus will be with you and will help you. See, it's not about us getting our own way all the time. Is that a disappointment? It might be. We don't get to get our own way And not all the time. Sometimes when we are right, the Lord will stand strong with us and help us fight a battle. Like the battle of racism. God created each person, whatever color they are. And God loves every single person. And if you stand with Jesus against the sin of racism, Jesus will help you. But if you stand and say that racism is perfectly acceptable, there's nothing wrong with it because they're all monkeys anyway. It is a direct quote that sent me off of Facebook this week. You are sinning. Period. Jesus would never say that. And he would never think it. And he would never teach it. So you don't ever practice it. We use Jesus often to justify our actions when in truth we haven't even consulted Jesus to see if our actions are right or not. The passage here is talking about within the community of faith, the process by which we do things in the community of faith. Jesus lays out a great plan for us to handle things. If we have a dispute with one another, we go to each other in private and talk about it. We don't stand on the courthouse steps and yell it out to anybody who wants to hear it, that's, I've got a problem with so-and-so. We don't call each other names. We don't swear at each other. We don't paint all awful pictures of each other. We don't, none of that stuff. We go to the person we have a dispute with and we speak with them. We listen to them. We work things out. Then, if they will not listen to your perspective and understand what you think is not right, we go back to the church and we gather one or two others to go with us to have conversation with the person. Not to gang up on them, not to beat them up, not to threaten them, not to do any of those things, but to have conversation with Christ in the middle of it. And so that the person has witness that they truly did try to confront in a peaceful Christian manner. Then, if the person still won't listen, the three, two or three, take it to the governing body, in our case the board, the elders, and hopefully can work the dispute out in a Christ-like, kind, compassionate way. We're still not, do you notice we never get to the point where we're yelling and screaming and calling each other names and all of that kind of, do you notice we never get there? Through the whole thing, we never get there. Now, at the end of it, if we still feel that the person is doing what is wrong, what is not Christ-like, what is not good for the body of Christ, we do walk away. But we still don't hurt them. We don't burn things in their yards. We don't put threatening letters in their mailbox. We don't do any of those things. The same is true on the outside of the church, and we're going to talk about that more next week. But there's been some real ugliness going on in our community here, and I think we need to rethink how we are handling it. There are several things that are going on in our community right now, and everybody that's involved needs to keep their heads about them. That was a phrase of my mom's. Don't lose your head over this whole thing. I don't know if that means anything to you, but it basically means stay calm. Stay collected. Act with dignity. Treat others with respect. Honor their opinion even if you disagree with them. I believe we are losing in our society the ability to do these things. And I'm worried. I'm really, really worried. What are we teaching our kids? What are we teaching them when we're teaching them that it's okay to go up to somebody and to threaten, if you don't do what I want you to do, I'm going to make sure you don't do anything. What are we teaching our kids when we do that? That's violent language, and it leads to violent behavior. If we're going to protest, it needs to be peacefully. And the looters and the rioters that are not a part of the peaceful demonstration need to be arrested and charged, and they need to serve time. Sorry, Judge, I know it's not my responsibility to tell you that. But that's what I believe, is what I think. And I'm probably wrong. So. But what I'm not wrong about is that we are losing the capacity. We can't even have debate. Has completely fallen out of our dictionaries. We don't even know what a healthy debate is anymore. Discussion. Disagreement. Disagreement doesn't mean yelling. Disagreement doesn't mean hating. It means that we sit down and we say, this is where I'm coming from, and you're coming from this point, and that's a different point. Now, where can we find consensus, common ground, and build? Every population from every country in every generation has to find ways to do this. We were talking this morning, things go around. We go around in circles, and they come back full circle. The Roman Empire could not figure out how to disagree peacefully. So all they could do was start wars and kill people. And in the end, it was their own destruction. Jesus does not want us to mistreat people trying to bring the gospel to them. We need to really rethink. We need to think about living our lives and conducting ourselves within the church and outside the church with Christ in our midst. He's watching every minute. That's not a threat. That's good news, because the minute you feel that anger start to boil inside of you, you can use Christ to calm you down. It needs to begin in the church, because it's not going to begin out there in the world. It's not going to happen. So we need to be the pioneers this time around. We need to be closer to Jesus. And we need to preach Jesus' compassion and love, even in disagreement. That's our process. That's the process Jesus Christ gave us. Why aren't we using it? Let us pray. Almighty God, please be close, close, close to us. Walk with us and help us walk with you. Help us find ways that we can be examples within the church and outside the walls of standing for what we believe in without building hatred and anger, of disagreeing with someone without being disagreeable to them, of trying to treat people, all people, with kindness first and foremost. Help us, Lord. We've lost our way. Help us, Lord. We need to obey. Amen. Our hymn of invitation today is Just a Closer Walk with Thee. And we're singing verses 1 and 2. It's at page 557 in your hymnal. And as you stand and sing, perhaps you would like to Take a moment as you're singing to think about the ways in which you've gotten away from Christ-like behavior, where you need to draw closer to Jesus Christ and what he wants for your life and for ours. Let us stand and sing.